Hi, I'm Caitlin Osmond.
Hey guys, this is Nathan Chen.
Hey, this is Ashley Wagner.
I'm Madison Chalk.
And I'm Evan Bates.
Hi, I'm Gabrielle Damon.
Hi everybody, it's Johnny Weir.
Hi, I'm Brian Orser.
I'm Meryl Davis.
And I'm Charlie White, and you're listening to Ice Talk.
How fast the season has flown by. Last week was the World Championships in Helsinki, Finland. And as with many World Championships, this one was an unforgettable and sometimes crazy one. I'm Jackie Wong of RockerSkating.com, and this is episode 27 of Ice Talk. All the powerhouse countries, Canada, Japan, Russia, and the US, had up and down moments. Even though they came away with only one medal, the great news for the Americans is that Team USA will have three spots at the Olympics in men, ladies, and dance. And due to the maximum quota of 16 pair spots that can qualify out of the World Championships, the Americans will unfortunately only have one pair at next year's Olympics because 17 spots were qualified and the U.S. was the last team to qualify two spots here in Helsinki. On the podium were some familiar names. Yuzuru Hanyu skated his first flawless free skate in about a season and a half to rally from fifth to win his second world title. Yevgenia Medvedeva was once again dominant to go 2-for-2 at Worlds. Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer capped off a successful and undefeated season and won their third world title. And the new faces to join the world champions list were Wen Jingsui and Song Han, who just returned to competition 2 months ago but won their first Worlds here in Helsinki. Today on the podcast, I have Olympic champion Charlie White, who has been here with the ISU doing behind-the-scenes social media work. He and I will talk about the crazy free dance event that ended the competition on Saturday and recap our highlights from the other disciplines as well. After Charlie, I'll have everyone's favorite, Misha G, on, and he may have just finished his career in Helsinki with two incredible skates. Well, it's always fun when I have an Olympic champion talking to me. Well, I'm sitting here with Mr. Charlie White, who is here doing a variety of things for the ISU. Charlie was on Ice Talk with Meryl just last month, but I have him here today to talk about Worlds with me. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me again.
Well, we've both been living and breathing these world championships for the last week, and for you, you're obviously not competing here, so what's it been like on the other side?
Yeah, the other side of the boards. It's been fun, and it's a big departure, but, you know, I'm a couple years removed now, so it feels much more normal. However, my capacity here was extra entertaining. I was here working with the ISU, kind of helping them promote their social media pages, and they're trying to really get in touch with the fans, feeling like there's a lot more give and take. And so my job predominantly was interviewing the athletes backstage, which was something I've done a little bit of before, but it is a real pleasure. And, you know, my approach, of course, can be a bit different as I'm only a pseudo journalist in this way.
Yeah, but you know your stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, I know my stuff, and I know the questions that I wish I had been asked. I know the tact that was oftentimes missing from the harsh questions that we got, and also this is for the fans. You know, I want the fans to feel good, and a lot of times that just means bringing out a lot of positive vibes in the skaters. And thankfully, most of them skated lights out. And so I didn't have to do much work, but every now and then, yeah, I mean, you have to have a gentle reminder of, you know, in the long run, in the big picture, you know, having a little mistake here, having an error there, it's going to help you. And having said that, you know, talk to us about, you know, your program, talk to us about this and this, and, you know, just put a positive spin on everything, because I remember just how grateful I was when I had that opportunity.
Right. I mean, I think there's a human element to this whole thing that people miss when they think about athletes, they think about sports. It's like, you're so disconnected sometimes from, like, watching somebody do something on the screen that you're like, oh, well, you know, they fell, so they must be a robot. You know,
yeah, like, no, I think a lot of it, because we make 99% of it look so easy, and then, you know, with the intermittent mistakes, it's like, oh, well, you know, all these other skaters didn't make that mistake. How could that happen to you? And honestly, the same things often are running through our heads.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of insecurity in putting ourselves out there and leaving it all out on the table. And so, like I said, I mean, it was just... It was really, really special, and I did not take this opportunity for granted in being able to speak with the skaters, especially right after they finished.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, if you guys listening hadn't watched or listened to what Charlie did, go to the ISU Twitter handle and I think also
Facebook and YouTube. I think predominantly YouTube, but I think it ended up on quite a few of the the social media outlets.
Well, you and I had kind of competing Facebook Lives at one point.
That's right. Yeah,
I think there were a couple. There were people who were literally streaming.
Yeah, I saw that picture. I loved it.
All right, well, we are at the hotel right now, literally just an hour or two away from what was a crazy free dance.
Yeah.
We had Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer winning, your former training mates and rivals and competitors and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a brilliant free dance from Papadakis and Cicerone. And then we had some mistakes, and we ended up having Americans on the podium with the Shibutanis in third. So give me a sense of what your thoughts of the whole thing was.
Yeah, no, it was a little bit of a letdown. I think maybe some of that was born of the incredible skating we got to see in the men's event, mm-hmm. and it's just like raised everybody's expectations through the roof for just what was to come, you know, and. I did a little interview on the big screen in between a couple of the resurfaces, and I was being asked, you know, what should we expect from the last two groups? And I said, you know, just expect perfection, you know, because you can't make any mistakes in ice dance.
Right.
And of course, unfortunately, you know, really unfortunately, everyone seemed like was trying to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
and it was a really mistake-riddled last group in particular.
And it was surprising, but in a lot of ways, not surprising, because ice dance has gotten to become such an intricate and difficult discipline that one wrong move and, like, disaster happens. And we've seen that throughout the season. We saw that at U.S. Nationals. We saw that at Four Continents. We saw that throughout the Grand Prix. And we saw that again here. I'd love to hear your thoughts about who your favorites were.
So tonight my favorites were absolutely Gabriel Papadakis and Guillaume Cizeron. The French team is just so fun to watch them skate, because it's not within my comfort zone at all what they're doing. And I say that to be as gentle to my own ego as possible, because the truth of it is I don't think I could manage nearly the difficulty and the flow and ease with which they approach their programs. And of course, part of that is the beauty of ice dance. You know, everyone has their own strengths. But, you know, as an Olympic champion, you like to think, oh, I can do everything. And, you know, this is just not the case.
Yeah.
And I think they're the perfect representative of someone who comes along, you know, just the right time, really, after, you know, the Igor and Marina surge of choreography and sort of construction of programs had come to a head. You know, with us, Tanith and Ben, Scott and Tessa, and all the success that we kind of had and helping define the direction that ice dance was going to go.
Yeah.
And it was time for something new.
Right.
And to not just have something new, but to have it with the absolute precision, edge quality, knee bend, strength, attitude. It's just like, I mean, I want to keep saying words, but I'm going to run out of words.
Yeah.
And that really is how highly I feel, you know, and how strongly I feel about the French. They're really a revelation. And I know that they were disappointed after the short program.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a lot of mistakes this year. And there have been times where it was like, well, are they going to get hungrier throughout the season and in the free dance? And often you saw, actually, they made a couple more mistakes in the free as well after the short dance.
Yeah.
I think it's a big step forward, actually, to make a mistake in the short, to know that they left points on the table, and to come into the free and actually have the mindset of not having anything to lose. I felt like that's how they skated.
Yeah.
Was it 100% perfect? No, I mean, I don't think so. It's never is, but in terms of what they've delivered throughout the season, it was definitely near the top. So hands down my favorite. I'm so happy that they were able to get that momentum. I mean, winning the free dance is a big deal. Yeah, yeah, that's momentum.
Well,
that's
winning a free dance with a world record, too.
Right? Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's oh right, and they won another world record, breaking their own world records at this point. So yeah, that's super exciting, and I was excited, and as a fan of ice dancing and as part of the history of ice dancing, it's really a pleasure to see them do their job out on the ice.
I mean, they keep bringing it when the chips are highest, I guess.
Yes.
And it's like you see them do it every single year at Worlds.
Yeah.
And I really don't know how they pace themselves to peak and how they get the confidence to do it, especially if you're not winning the entire time during the year. But they were just a few points short of Tessa and Scott.
Yes.
And which their short dance was what saved them after a mistake in the free dance. What did you think of their performance?
I think their performance was good. I say that knowing that they made a mistake and including the mistake. So obviously it wasn't great, it wasn't fantastic, and it was far from perfect. The thing that Scott and Tessa have really that, I mean, it's overstated, if anything, is experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Scott to make a mistake and I mean, it was barely a fall. Like, it was a fall, but it was, like, the bare minimum requirement for a fall.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, to reassert himself in that program and without losing further control, without losing character, of course it hurts the flow. Of course it hurts the overall impact of what they're trying to accomplish. But he did a magnificent job of recovering, and that's why he's a world champion. That's why he's an Olympic champion.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, it was great. Now, I think my issue, you know, and I talked a little bit about this when I was doing commentary for them, was I just don't understand their program as much. You know, and it's interesting because I don't really understand, I don't really know, like, what Gabby and Guillaume are trying to tell me, but I don't think about it as much when they're performing, and that's just one of those artistic things. But I think what does it for me with Scott and Tessa in their program is the musical change halfway through, and I feel like that is a crux of a storyline that I'm just not privy to. And you know, it's like they're trying to make a transition to show they're going from something to this Sam Smith relationship driven song. And I'm not sure what that is supposed to mean. And so, you know, so I'm distracted from their elegance, their speed, their lifts for a period of time where I'm trying to kind of gather my thoughts. And it happens every time I watch the program because I want so badly to be able to appreciate every program the way that, you know, I appreciate that Prince program, which, by the way, you know, we won't talk about it, but I think it's just absolutely one of the best programs I've ever seen.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant, and I think it deserves all of the credit anyone can throw at it. But on the other hand, this doesn't feel like a completed package to me. And, you know, they're so gifted, they're so good, they can get away with it. You know, there's really no one else that can get away with it. And, you know, I want to be clear that I'm nitpicking. You know, this isn't like a huge flaw that should have kept them from the podium or anything. This is something that is a minor distraction. And, you know, these things can count, especially if Gabby and Guillaume had skated a clean short program or short dance. Who knows where they could have been?
Yeah.
And these kinds of questions that linger could have been the difference.
Yeah. I'm intrigued as to how both teams are going to handle going into next season, knowing that it was as close as it was at the World Championships. The third team in that camp, the Marie France and Patrice camp, was Hubble and Donahue, who, oh boy, I mean, they were last to skate, almost perfect first half.
Yeah.
And they were just so into it, and then that fall on the Twizzles just gave it all away.
Yeah,
and I mean,
and then some.
And then some. They were on their way to a bronze medal, if not close to a silver medal, maybe. I don't know, but we'll never know. They lost a good 12 points because of the fall on the Twizzles, which invalidated the element, and then also the level 2 step sequence that they got because they were distracted afterwards. So, you know, they ended up with a 101, 102, should have been in the mid 100s. So, how much of that did you catch?
Not as much as I would have liked. And so the downside of interviewing the athletes was obviously I wasn't able to catch all the action, but I did see the recovery. I saw the first third of their program, which is as beautiful as always. And I've been fortunate to commentate and see this program many, many times, and I think very, very highly of it. I think this program has a similar issue as Scott and Tessa's in that the first two thirds, I think, are just beautiful, and I get it. I understand. And then there's a change, and it feels like they just had to change tempo. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like a necessary step in the evolution of the story, but rather a forced technical aspect of being an ice dancer. And so that always takes me out. And otherwise, I think that they are one of the most talented ice dance teams, you know, I've ever seen. Just the ability they're able to glide, their use of each other. And it was really, really sad.
Yeah.
Because you know, because, I mean, because you, because I, because I've been there, because I know exactly.
I have, just so the listeners know, I have not been there.
It's just really disappointing. And my heart goes out to them because it's going to be tough to get past it.
Yeah.
Because they've been looking for this success for years, and they've sacrificed and they've put up with a lot, and I mean, just everything that goes into a moment like this, it means a lot to a person. I hope that they can get past this as quickly as possible, but at the same time,
yeah,
take the valuable lessons. And first of all, we never stop learning as athletes, as people. There's always a new lesson, and sometimes they're a little bit more in our face than others, and this is certainly, this is one you're going to have to work through. And so I just wish the best for them, because they're good kids. They're great skaters, and they deserve to be happy.
Well, I hope they take solace in the fact that they proved that they can really be up there.
Yes.
You know, they were sixth last year, and it was in some ways a surprise sixth, because they were able to kind of show that they belong.
Yeah.
It was also at home in Boston,
mm-hmm.
and so you never know what kinds of boosts the crowd will give you and all that kind of stuff. But they were in Finland, in a foreign country,
coming in as the third, you know, the bronze medalist in the U.S., where they also had a very rough skate.
Yes. So I hope they do take solace in the fact that they know that they belong now.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
And that next year they come back stronger, and they will be where they should be.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to talk about the Shibutanis, who got the bronze.
Yes.
I really thought that freeze dance was one of the best freeze dances that they've done all season long, and they ended up with their lowest free dance score of the season.
Yeah.
So, did you catch any of that?
I didn't catch as much of this one. And I caught the very tail end, and it seemed like they had good energy. It seemed like they were committed to the program. And I was trying to read their faces to see, you know, to kind of get some insight into
mm-hmm.
how the program went, because I do know them very, very well. And it was kind of hard to read. It was hard to see. You know, usually Alex is pretty ecstatic. Like, when they have a clean, clean skate.
It was like last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and even after the short dance. Like, he's more than ready to throw a fist up and be excited.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And so I wasn't sure what to think of that. And, you know, it kind of, their muted response to the program sort of continued through the kiss and cry. They were
mm-hmm.
sitting there, and, you know, they seem to just be kind of taking it in. And maybe it stands in such stark contrast with last year, where it was like everything was coming to a head.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had achieved this goal that they had set long ago. And so I didn't know what to make of that. So I'll have to go back and watch it. But I think that they've made huge strides this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they've proven this program to be a worthy vehicle. So barring any actual errors, I too would say that I'm surprised that they wouldn't have gotten a higher score. So
yeah.
I think that they, you know, but at the same time, like, it's a good motivating thing. It's something that they can go back and be like, okay, so, you know, we were in a good spot, but they expect more. They need more from us. So how do we give that to them? So I think that'll be interesting to see how they respond.
Yeah, totally. We heard them in the press conference afterwards say, you know, that the reason they were a little bit muted was that they had just left everything out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether or not that was something that they kind of wanted to just say, or
mm-hmm.
if that was,
yeah,
that was
yeah,
real,
yeah, sure,
you know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sounds good, but I wouldn't be surprised, because I mean, it's usually they knew that they had work to do, right?
Yeah.
That Maddie and Zach hadn't skated yet, and they knew that, like, they didn't want to just, like, medal, maybe. You know, they want, like, they're looking, they're trying to prove that they deserve an Olympic gold, I think. I mean, I think that's their goal. They haven't told me that, so don't quote me. But, I mean, they're fighting for the top spot. They're not just trying to fight to stay in the game. Yeah. So I think it would make sense that they leave it all out, you know, under those circumstances.
Yeah. And they talked a little also about their free dance for next season, which they apparently already have a very clear idea of what it is. So I think they're motivated. I think they are ready to prove that, like, yes, they got the bronze medal, but they can do better.
Yeah.
And they can be competitive. All right. Well, I wanted to do just a couple more of, like, what are your top three moments or top three moments from the championship?
Yuzuru Hanyu.
Oh my gosh.
Right? I mean, it's like, it has to be the first thing. Just breathtaking, really. Yeah. And it's just, he has such a way about him that it's so inspiring when you're watching it. I felt like going for like a marathon run, or like, I could take on the world right now, man. Like, this guy makes anything seem possible. He makes it look so easy. I mean, it makes it feel like I could go out on the ice and just like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, Kwad Sao, just like that.
Oh my.
And but just the grace. I mean, I think that's a good word to sort of describe from beginning to end the way in which he handled that program. It was just graceful. I mean, ease and grace.
Yeah.
And for the technical level, and on top of the pressure, and I mean that having been to Japan and so many times, and understanding the culture and the fandom and the demand for excellence, it's high, and he knows it, and his ability to deal with that has improved with his maturity. And I was really happy for him, because I think it's going to be something that will stay with him for a long time, this moment, because it was special.
Well, he proved to himself that he could do it again. Mm-hmm. I think the Grand Prix final in 2015 was the last time he skated cleanly, and every single time, you know, last year's Worlds, he came in prepared. I saw him first day come in and hit two clean programs.
Yeah.
And we just thought he would just
roll,
cruise through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't. And I think there was some self-doubt throughout the season. And even in practices, you know, we didn't see a flawless Yuzuru.
Sure.
And he figured it out. And I think this gives him a lot of ammo for next year.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's so many great moments. But then I think I have to go to Shoma, who so young. And what the story I keep coming back to with him is, I watched his programs early in the season, and I just thought to myself, he's too young for these programs. Mm. He's not mature enough to skate to, especially his long program.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I knew that Stefan did it, and just, you know, did it like how, like, he created it like he would have done it for himself. And I'm just thinking to myself, no one can live up to that. Right. You know, Stefan is just at the limit of being able to do that.
Right.
And it was like the next competition, he was doing it, you know, in a way that, I mean, would certainly rival Stefan's ability.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the incredibly, you know, plus the technical level, which Stefan could never even get to.
Right.
And, I mean, I just, he practices like a wild man.
Yes.
You know, and yet in competition is able to focus in on to such a degree that you would never doubt his ability at any point during the program. And that, to me, I think that's incredible. That's something special too.
Yeah, what I liked about him this year was last year when we were in Boston, he practiced and had just a scowl on his face because he was just so serious about the competition.
Yeah.
And this year, when he was practicing, yeah, he fell, yeah, he popped jumps, but it was very light, very, you know, he was shaking it off.
Yeah.
And I, you know, if you were to tell me that he would land a clean quad loop and a clean quad flip in the free skate, I would be like, no way. Like, not based on what he was doing in practice.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure he's thinking about this, but he was 2 points away from the gold. The 2 points that he gave up by stepping out of that triple Lutz.
Yeah.
Of course, if Yuzuru Hanyu had skated a clean short,
sure,
different story. No, but really, like,
The kind of thing that you remember.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. And but he also proved that he could be competitive with Yuzuru at an international competition.
Yeah, yeah. And when Yuzuru's at his best,
yeah,
even, which exactly. is just incredible to be able to say. And then I think, moving past that, the ladies, I think just for the Canadian ladies.
Oh, man, yeah.
Just like, it felt like so many demons got their skulls bashed in. You know? They did such a great job of, like, kicking it to the man and just being like, no, not today.
Yeah. First time ever that two Canadian women were on the world podium. I mean, they just skated lights out.
Like, it's such a great story. And Gabby Dalman was telling me, like, how nice it was that her family was there.
Yeah.
And, like, and obviously, you know, they both just had a lot of struggles, you know? And it's like, all of the talent is so has so obviously been there.
Yeah,
it's such a nice feeling when it comes together when it should. And then obviously Medvedeva, just I mean, like,
you can't say enough about her.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, we could and should devote more time to her. But it's like, it's been said, you know, like, she dominates because she's by far the best.
Yeah,
she. You know, she's gifted, she works hard, she loves the sport, she's got a good attitude. I mean, you know, yes, could she flesh out her programs more? Yes. Yeah. Could she bring up, you know, more maturity to the ice? Yes, but she's young too. So it's like, what do you want?
Yeah. So the thing about her is I really think she does have choreographic range.
Mm-hmm.
There was an interesting part of the press conference where she was asked about choreography and who she kind of looked up to in the past, about you know, who are the most versatile artistic people, and she was like, yeah, no, I don't know about the past, but you know, right now I really think Ashley Wagner can do anything.
Yeah.
She's versatile. She's you know, she's got range. She's, you know, she can do any program and any any character.
Yeah.
And I think she understands that. And I also think she has it in her. We know that she can do kind of character programs.
Totally.
And I think having had a couple of seasons where she's done very similar themes,
mm-hmm.
I would love to see her reach out a little bit and do something that's beyond her comfort
zone. Just unexpected.
Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, just to surprise us a little bit, just because we're so bored with her technical perfection. Come on. You're just going to skate perfectly again?
Yeah, no.
And I mean, of course, there's, you know, it's a competition, so it's like, to what degree is it worth it for her to push it?
Exactly.
You know, it's like, yeah, of course, I'd love to see it, but, you know, is she trying to impress me, the viewer, or is she trying to win an Olympic gold medal?
Exactly.
So,
and at this point, I
would say don't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
I'm not getting my hopes up, but at the same time, I can still very much appreciate what she brings.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, she's hands down the favorite right now for the Olympic gold. If there are any two right now who could really challenge her, Caitlin Osman and Carolina Costner, provided that she gets her jumps back.
Elements back. Yeah. I don't think anyone can challenge her. I think she is her only obstacle.
Yeah.
So I think that's exciting. And then I know we're running long, and we love talking about figure skating, so hopefully the people that listen to this love hearing about figure skating.
Hey, I'm drinking a beer right now.
I was so impressed with the top two in particular pair teams.
Yeah.
Aliona and Bruno, Sui and Han, both of them have brought such a feeling to me, an inner feeling of the ice dance spirit to especially the long programs.
Mm.
And for a long time, and I almost feel like I shouldn't say this, but I really haven't been much of a fan of pairs.
Yeah.
I've fully respected what it takes.
The difficulty,
the demand, I mean, it's just, you have to be a daredevil, whether you're a boy or a girl, when you're doing it. I mean, that's sort of where I drew the line. It was always like, okay, well, here comes about, you know, six back crossovers, they're going to be playing, there's going to be one arm, then they're going to do a Choctaw and a twist.
Yeah.
The top two programs that we saw here just so thoroughly smashed that preconceived notion. And I couldn't have been happier. And both of them, individually and as people, as teams, are lovely people.
Yeah.
And so I like cheering for them anyway. But the consideration they had with their movements, and especially the subtlety that is so rare in any pair team, let alone two, you know, in one season at the World Championships. And you know, as much as I love Megan and Eric, when they won the last two world championships, you know, you couldn't really say the same thing about them. They were trick-oriented. They were big. They were emotional.
Yeah.
And yet there's some finer qualities of their skating that was lacking. And you can't say that about these two. And, you know, that's why they were neck and neck. And I think I hope that more teams will sort of push in that direction in terms of the program choice, the choreography that should be expected in between the incredibly difficult elements. But I thought it was just a real revelation, and I just couldn't have gotten more pleasure out of watching them.
They also, these two teams could not have been any different.
Yes.
As
yeah.
well.
Yeah. The
types of things that they were putting out there, you know, Aliona and Bruno were very much kind of playful and modern.
Mm-hmm.
Sui and Han had the modern quality, but there's a
with
bit
a more
of a
classical.
Yeah, there's a bit of a throwback.
Totally.
To them.
Yes. Yeah.
So I loved the contrast between the two, and I know that both of them made errors in their free skates, and they're both, you know, especially I'm sure Savchenko and Massot were a little bit, you know, beating themselves up for being like just that close.
Yeah.
Just that
close. Yeah. No doubt.
But you know what? The whole pairs competition was just incredible.
Yes.
I have no words really to say about that, and it's tough for me to not have words. On that note, since I don't have any words, I want to thank Charlie White for getting a drink with me and talking about all things World Championships. I wish we had more time. We could do this for hours.
We could definitely go for hours. Maybe another time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for being back on Ice Talk.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Hi, I'm Maya Shibutani.
And I'm Alex Shibutani.
And you're listening to Ice Talk.
Make sure to tune in every week.
So, we at Ice Talk have been wanting to get this guy on the podcast for quite a while, but he is such a world traveler that we could never figure out our schedules together. And actually, today I have been trying to track him down all day long, and he's just been running around the rink. But, you know, while I still have him right here at Worlds with me, I've cornered him for the podcast. It's great to have you here, Misha.
Hello, everybody. Really nice to talking to you guys, and really nice seeing Jackie here. So really excited about this, too.
Well, you're just getting off of exhibition gala practice, and you just skated your exhibition. But I know you want to debut a new show program to La La Land, but you didn't get to do that today. But tell us about that new program and what the story is behind it.
So, well, first of all, I did this program. I watched the movie on one of the flights, I think, after competition with my dad. And I really, really liked that movie. I liked the way it shot it, the composed music, the scenes. And another thing, you know, it's really remind me the part of the story in my life I had, the relationship once in my life. So it was very close to the movie, you know. Not just the way and the story is, but also location. It was also Los Angeles.
Huh.
And similar places, Santa Monica, those fountains, and all those places, you know. So it was very personal.
Yeah.
So, and the music is very beautiful, and I was I'm a fan of those old movies, like Singing in the Rain, mm-hmm. and, American in Paris, and so many of those titles. So when this one came out, it feels like you're watching old movie, but shoot in the now generation. So
yep.
I wanted to do something beautiful, reminding of past, reminding of now, you know, something between that. So, and I did record it in a few pieces, and I uploaded to fans. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a personal story. So I was originally thinking to use this piece of program of this competition gala, but then a lot of people very enjoy the Justin Bieber number, you know, so we decide to do the thing that people request and want.
Well, cool. Will we ever get to see it at some point this summer or anything like
maybe,
that?
Maybe I'll show it on some shows around the world, so maybe we'll have the full footage of it.
That would be fun. Well, those who were watching Worlds this weekend, we saw two very emotional performances from you. What was it like to skate like that at Worlds in front of a crowd that it was so wonderful and supportive?
Well, first of all, it was really amazing audience. and fans and support. It's really, and they support all skaters very well. So, first of all, it's big thanks to them for that, like, home feeling. And for me, to skate this world championship was, I'll say, very hard, and it's quite special, you know. When you stepping on the ice and you understanding that might be your last performance of your skating career, of course you feel completely different pressure. Like, people ask me, said, what was your highlight of the skating? I said, well, one of it was Sochi Olympic, which I had two great performances. Another one was Shanghai World Championships, where I became sixth place. And that was the third one, you know. But of course, both of this program, and you understand that, we all understand that when we skate a short program, that we have to qualify 24, you know. And in my condition and issue with my foot and all those difficulties we went through, you know, you try to prepare yourself for all kind of things, and you try to prepare yourself for the worst. So, stepping there, you know, you have to fight your best, because that's maybe your one performance, one program. So it was very pressuring inside, you know. Even with my team, when we prepare for last couple months before this event, like, we really try to be so detailed from morning till night. Sometimes you wake at 5, you come back at 5, wake up at 5 a.m., come back at 5 p.m. Your dad and mom's running with you because you're coaches, so you try really do, like, whole day everything much as you can, so you feel no regrets, you know. Even if you compete bad, you know that you give it all, do all the thing you could in your team. So it was really, really big pressure inside to do this to a program, but I'm really happy, and I'm thanks God, and thanks to my parents, thanks to amazing fan support, had such a great and memorable performance of my career.
Yeah, I mean, your free skate in particular was, I think, that was the performance of your career. And I know you were talking about you're dealing with injuries, you've been dealing with some personal family things over the past couple of seasons. How did it feel to deliver that kind of program? And also, what is the status of your foot? I mean, I know you had some injections to your foot in this season.
Yeah, well, how to say about my foot? It, the things that come with years, as many doctors said, that I've been working on my foot with, you know, Chinese Olympic Hospital in Beijing, and as well with some specialist in Los Angeles, and simply said in a few words that the joints of inside ankle is wearing out. How does it cause? Is by years of professional
wear and
training.
Wear and tear.
Yeah. So those things is not that easy to be repaired. And, you know, it takes months, years. Sometimes it really can take a few years to bring back the space between two bones. So it will not tearing each other. You know, so that's why we have to do a lot of therapy, work a lot on the power around the ankle, a lot of those vitamins, pills, and injection lubricants, and were like painkillers, you know. And the thing is, almost quad that I'm working with is on the same foot as well as triple axel. So you understanding that you have to do difficulty, and we did quad toe, we did quad toe triple toe, which I'm glad, you know, we step on the new level of difficulty for ourselves. But, you know, when it's a lot of pressure for your foot, so you have to consider how to same time keep skating, do all round performance, and still try to be, you know, competitive skater. So this case is really hard, so we keep working a lot on that, and, you know, and hopefully little by little it get better.
Well, I wanted to bring you back to your earlier years in competition. Your very first Worlds was in 2010.
Yeah.
and you were 30th there. And now, you know, Uzbekistan doesn't have much of a history of having very top skaters. The one that I remember most is Tatiana Malanina back in the late 90s. So what got you into skating, and like, how did you find the inspiration without having those kinds of role models in your country?
Well, see, both of my parents used to be skater of their national team. My mom used to be a skater of Soviet Union national team. My dad used to be skater of Chinese national team. Later, they both become coaches of their teams and choreographers as well, you know, and they also work in as singles, as ice dancers, and been work with Olympic teams. So they bring me onto the ice, you know. So since little, I was around them while they were working, you know. So at first, my parents would thought, so 10 years old, before 10 years old, they thought I might be just playing, do it for health. But after 10, they decide to let me go pro, you know, to see I have some talents, abilities, and the way I do it. So they decide to start work with me. As well, another difficulty is to teach your own son, you know, your own kid.
Yeah.
A lot of people looking at me and always saying, see how lucky you are, you don't have to have so much payment, you don't have to pay coaches, you have two coaches in your family. In some cases, I agree with them, but another side of the difficulty, they don't see it. Like, it's much more difficult to teach your own kid. Mm. Well, first of all, as a parent, of course, you're going to put much more hard than regular coaches do.
Yeah.
And it will create much more, you know, difficulty.
Tension. Yeah.
Pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of those things, you know, because you're paying not by money, you're paying by heart and health. And when you live with parents, it's basically 24/7 about skating.
Yeah.
So
you know, do you guys ever disconnect and turn off skating?
Rarely. When I going overseas to ice show to work with other skaters as choreographer, you know, then we do. But when the season begins, it's 24/7 about skating. So it's really hard, you know. It's like you go back home and you still discuss about skating, checking your video, comparing with other skaters, try to see what they're good, what you're bad, finding solution, checking the plan, redoing the plan, and what do you have to do tomorrow, what's wrong today, you know. It's every day like this for I don't know how many years was in my family.
Right.
So it's a lot of pressure for family, you know.
I mean, it's funny that people say you don't pay anything for your training, but then your parents don't get paid anything for your training, right?
Yeah, so there's I think one of the most correct answer for that, you don't pay money. You're paying your family, not yourself only. Your family paying heart, health, and their time.
Right. Yeah, it's all
so
time.
So that case is much more expensive than money.
Right.
And another thing is the now skating become more complex, more difficult, more advanced. We have to have so much people around us to be work with us.
Yeah.
Doctors, trainers, recovery people. It's a long list of people that have to work. But unfortunately, in my case, it's everything my parents tried. So for two people, they tried to do work of five people. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So that's another difficult case.
Yeah, you obviously had your parents as role models. Who other skaters who were your role models growing up?
Honestly, there were quite many. I mean, I didn't grow on the generation of skater, of amazing generation of skaters. So people like Evgeny Plushenko, Alexey Agudin, Johnny Weir, Jeffrey Buttle, Emmanuel Sandu, Daisuke Takahashi, so many amazing people.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I post one of the Tweet After Free program, and I mentioned one of the line was, thanks to my mentors. And those people, I know them, I talk to them, we're friends with them, and I learned a lot from them. And it's also thankful to them to be an inspiration model for me, so that today I'm skating the way I am.
Yeah. Well, to be friends with this range of people that you know, you I know you speak a good number of languages as well. So how many languages do you actually speak?
I speak three fluently.
Three fluently.
English not that good. English not that good. Sorry. Yeah, I know sometimes it's a little bit weird or broken one, but as long as people understand
your
me,
English is perfectly fine.
Well, it could be better. Could
so,
be better.
So Russian,
Chinese,
and English. Your Chinese is definitely going to be better than mine. I'm not even going to try it.
You have to improve. I'm waiting for that.
Gosh. So
I could talk to you in Chinese.
I speak Cantonese.
We should do a podcast in Chinese next time, you know? For our Asian fans.
Oh, man. A Mandarin edition of Ice Talk. Switching gears a little bit. Earlier in your career, you were definitely known for your flair and being a crowd pleaser, and you still bring that, especially in exhibitions. But I feel like more recently, the last few seasons, your skating has become more on the kind of elegant side, and your choreography has gotten more subtle, but impactfully subtle. What did you feel like that was a natural progression for you? And did you feel like there was like this noticeable change in the way that you approach choreography?
Well, you know, as choreographer, as artist, you have to learn so many different styles, so many different genres. Mm-hmm. And to get what I have today, we have to go through those years, you know. And at that time, I tried something more bright. Now I try something more classy, more mature, you know. But I still always experiment with mm-hmm. new things. And I think every year have it meaning to be where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm appreciate every program I have, every try, every new style that we create till today.
I saw bits and pieces of that La La Land program on Instagram. I literally texted you and I said this is a whole other side of you again, and you know, it'd be great to see that actually come to fruition in some sort of program, whether it's an exhibition program or it's maybe a competitive program. I'm not even going to get there, but yeah.
You know, actually, one funny thing that, because this year I've been working with many amazing, talented
yeah.
skaters, and since little, I grow in family of arts.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, he's a professional painter and actor, and he himself, when he's young, he skated, he did swimming, ballroom dancing, you know, and dad was skater and also studied ballet
mm-hmm.
in Beijing. Mom was skater and as well attend musical high school, dance university, sport university. So it's a lot going on in my family about music, art, all kind of arts.
Yeah.
And, you know, so since little, we've been doing those kind of things, like art around you. So my parents and my grandparents tried to teach me all different styles.
Yeah.
And sometimes the thing that I learn, I'm not capable to show all on the arena.
Yeah.
It's competition. You have to know the frame, you have to know the rules, and you have to follow it.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that I want to do, I haven't shown it all
yeah.
to people.
Yeah.
So while this season I've been working with few people, and so when we were warming up, I put some music, I tried different things, I showed them some cool stuff with different genres. In many cases, they was always surprised. And it was surprised me as well. They're like, whoa, we never saw you do this. And I'm like, well, I could not do that on competition, you know?
Yeah.
So we do so black or white, so different contrasting. So
yeah.
They were so surprised. And that's one of the things that you see in La La Land. You didn't see my side of that
mm-hmm.
before.
Yeah.
But actually, there's many other side I haven't shown yet.
Well, we're excited to see the other sides of you as we continue to see you skate, whether in competition capacity or in show capacity. How long have you been choreographing your own programs?
Actually, it's been around 8-9 years when
uh-huh.
I start do partically.
Uh-huh.
because my mom did my choreography.
Yeah.
So then I started to do parts by part. But about 7 years ago, I started to do full programs of mine. So
basically, since you started competing senior, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how, like, little by little, I start do my own work.
Yeah.
And then later, I start work with some other people.
Yeah.
And then, same time, like, this season, I've been done my work and other people, and then sometime even my competitor that we compete against.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get back to the question that's on a lot of people's minds, which is, was this it for you? And is there any chance that we might see you next season in the Olympics?
That might was my last competition. And, you know, there's so many little detail we have to consider in this few months. Because, you know, I'm really appreciate I had this kind, if it was last one, I really appreciate it. Thanks God to have such a great performance, because I think you couldn't ask better ending than this. You know, I remember I watched a couple years ago Florin Amalia
at Europeans,
and I was like, that's how you leave the stage.
Yeah,
I was really happy for him, and I was like, well, if one day if I'm leaving, I wish I could be somewhere like that. And then it was world championship, and two programs, people standing, and so much people come to me and say, like, they got so touched, they're crying at the end. I'm like, really, it's, you couldn't ask for more. So, you know, and also I'm working more and more on choreography, and next 2 months I'll be in 4 or 5 countries, three continents. And I'll have around 10 or more programs for that 2 months to choreograph.
Yeah.
Some show numbers, some competition numbers, juniors, seniors, you know. So I also working on next step for me.
Yeah.
And as well, we have to consider with our team, see how they interested if to work or not. I'm talking about our country team.
Yeah.
Because for those few years, everything done pretty much on my parents' shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
We do get support to go to competition.
Yeah.
But except that, we have no support from country.
Right.
Which is really hard. And, you know, so as I said previously, sometimes when you see how much your parents are putting into it, it's really hard, like, heartfelt, saying that. And as well, you have to understand, you know, what you're capable for, what you can do, what you can achieve. I understand so much people tell me to stay and wish me to do it, and we might, you know, but there's so much things behind the scene
that
people
don't see. It's not that simple.
It's not that simple, So we'll see. We'll go step by step.
Yeah, well, I mean, regardless of that, I think you'll figure it out, and you'll come to the decision that's right for you. But we know we can expect to still see a lot from you going forward in terms of shows, in terms of, you know, performances, and in terms of what you were just saying just now, you as a choreographer. And I thought your masterpiece this season was Anna Pogorelia's short program.
Thank you.
She's made this transformation as a skater, and I think you've helped her do that with that short program. Tell me a little more about this new side of your involvement in skating.
Well, you know, I work on that little by little for recent years.
Yeah.
So the works I have today, the people I work with right now and will work soon, that is all the work for a few years preparation. So there, you know, I gotta focus a lot on choreography and work with other people, and as well, I still will try to spend more time now to study in Beijing Dance Academy and Hollywood Dance Academy, while I'll be in Russia to study with my teachers to more improve in the art side.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, working as organizer of some events and summer camps, and as well helping Chinese Federation would grow up, the young generation for next Olympic 2022. Mm. You know, last year I've done some work for them, doing summer camps, sent their student overseas practice, you know, and this year we might work even more tightly together. Mm-hmm. About that. So that's another thing. And as well, particularly work as manager of ice shows and some other skaters, you know, all those things. And as well, we working with great MK and John Wilson Blades and other skating shoes company on create new project for athletes and mm-hmm. understand the need. And those communication things as well. Later, we'll see. Maybe I'll be involved a bit too with entertainment film as well.
Very
but
cool.
But we have to see. You know, there's a lot of things that they're working with together. But step by step, we will try to do one at a time.
Very cool. I mean, world-class skater is busy enough as it is, but it sounds like you're going to be even busier than that.
I will try keep myself.
Yeah, amazing. Well, congratulations again on an incredible Worlds, Misha, and have fun with the rest of the exhibition.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for support, and really nice talking to you guys.
With that, we conclude our coverage of the 2017 World Championships here on Ice Talk. I hope you got a chance to catch my Facebook Live recaps on the Facebook page of Ice Network. Big thanks to Charlie White and Misha G for being on the podcast this week. There's only one more competition to go this season, and it's the World Team Trophy in 2 weeks. Please leave us a review on iTunes and give us any feedback that you have on the podcast by tweeting me at RockerSkating or at Ice Network with the hashtag IceTalk. Our whole season of episodes is archived on iTunes and on the Ice Network website under Fans. From the Impromptu Ice Network Studios in downtown Helsinki, this is Jackie Wong of RockerSkating.com. Hope you all enjoyed the World Championships.